here, even though there's a rumor that there might be some kind of game going on. I don't know. Yeah, it was interesting. I have some friends who are pastors of different churches, and I was surprised to hear that some of my buddies were saying, hey, let's cancel church this Sunday for the game. And yeah, but other churches are putting time off, so way to be here, you guys. Let's stand for the reading of the word here together. Father, as we prepare for your word, Lord, just prepare our hearts and our minds. Lord, thank you so much that the word of God is living, is powerful, is your truth to us, for us, to be used by us, to change lives, starting with our own, Lord. Bless this time. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, has not the Lord anointed you leader over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zelzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, the donkeys you set out to look for have been found. And now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He is asking, what shall I do about my son? Then you will go down from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from them. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, where there is a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from a high place with lyres and tambourines and flutes and harps being played before them. And they will be prophesying. The Spirit of the Lord will be upon you in power. And you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed his heart. And these signs were fulfilled that day. When they arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he joined other prophets. When all those who had formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, what is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? A man who lived there answered, and who is their father? So it became a saying, is Saul also among the prophets? After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to a high place. Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, where have you been? Looking for donkeys, he said. But when we saw they were not to be found, we went to Samuel. Samuel's uncle said, tell me what Samuel said to you. Saul replied, he assured us that the donkeys had been found. He did not tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship. Please be seated. He didn't tell his uncle what Samuel said about the kingship. It's an interesting way to end it, isn't it? Man, I tell you, there's a crisis, remember, happening in Israel right now. There's a lot going on. Samuel was old. His sons were a nightmare. They were dishonest men. They were misusing their authority. And the people were asking for the greatest change in their nation's constitution since the days of Moses. There were a lot of problems going on, weren't there? There's a lot going on. And we've had a few weeks about hearing about these donkeys. Anybody tired of the donkeys? Yeah. But we keep hearing about these donkeys, and that Samuel had been on the way to go find these donkeys, or Saul had been on the way to go find these donkeys. And as they're going down, he and the servant that's with them, they meet Samuel. And as we start up in chapter 10, this is where things are starting to take more shape. Then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him, saying, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" The Lord, not just Samuel, is anointing Saul here, guys. It's not just Samuel that's anointing him, but it's the Lord. And when the Lord moves in incredible ways. And then we hear about three signs that take place. And these three signs, the first one is, when you leave me today, you meet two men near Rachel's tomb at Zilzah on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, "The donkeys you set out to look for have been found." Rachel, Jacob's second wife, was Israel's matriarch. She was Israel's matriarch and the mother of Joseph and Benjamin. And here, there's a reminding of Saul that of Israel's beginning. And it's interesting that these three signs have specific meanings. And the second one is, then you will go down from there and reach a great tree of Tabor. Three men going up to worship God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves of bread, which you are to accept from them. Remember, earlier, Saul had spoke about how he had no bread left. This is, once again, speaking about the provision that God has for his people and for Saul. His need would be met in a remarkable way. And the meat, the bread, and the wine, these are three symbolic staffs of life. And they had that meaning. And Bethel is the house of God. And these men were going up to Bethel. And Bethel is where God shared his amazing promise to Jacob, the promise that defined Israel. And so there's all this hidden meaning behind what's going on these three signs. And then the third one is very, very important because it really lays a foundation to what's really taking place here. After that, you will go to Gibeah of God, and that means the hill of God. And then it says something unbelievable. It says, where there is a Philistine outpost. So what we're learning here is that the Philistines are where they shouldn't be. They've come so far into the land of Israel that they're right here, right where Saul is come from. Man, as he's going home, there they are. And there's an outpost there. And so the battle had come further and further and further in. And it says, as you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from high places with lyres and tambourines, pipes, harps, all being played before them. And they will be prophesying. This is the end of the journey, and there's a specific surprise. As the Philistines have come into this territory, they're where they don't belong. And then it says in verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, and here's the key, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Do whatever your hands find to do. Guys, what is that saying? Is that saying, whatever feels right, just do it. If it looks good, just do it. Because this is going back, and Saul would know this. This is going back to Judges 9:33. Do whatever your hands find to do. It's found there, and it means this makes a clear reference to military action against who? The Philistines that have come in too far. So what he's saying here is, you know what? They don't belong there. I'm presenting you as ruler. I'm anointing you as the ruler. And you need to take action, Saul. This is for me to have you lead so that the people know that you are my guy. So when he's saying the words, do whatever your hands find to do, he's saying, do what I have brought you to do, which I talked about in Judges, which is going a military action against the people who are the enemies of God that have come, the Philistines. And so he understands he's supposed to go back and take action against the Philistines. Have you guys ever been asked by God and you knew specifically what it was? I'll never forget when I was in Uganda on a short-term mission trip to pacify my wife, Julie, because I knew her love. She had been in Uganda before we were married. And I knew she had a love for Uganda, for the people in Uganda, and for the children without parents in Uganda. And I noticed that the sparkle in her eye had dimmed. And I'd gone on a short-term trip to pacify my wife, to get her heart right so we could come back and do ministry that God called us to do back in the States. And when we were there, God said, no, 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 no. Parents without children, these are hundreds of children without parents. Figure it out, Matthew. Have you ever been in a place where God called you specifically to do something, maybe to behave in a certain way, to stand for something? But there's a cost to it. There's a cost to it. Guys, I promise you, if you follow the Lord, there will be a cost. It's not come to Jesus and everything in your life will be wonderful. All the problems will disappear. That is a lie. And that is not talked about in the Word of God. What the Word of God talks about is no matter how bad life gets, you have a God who loves you and will never leave you through all of it. And we are blessed with that. We are so blessed to know that we are not alone. Have you ever felt painfully alone? There are times where things were happening in my life and it was the dead of night and I just had this sensation, this choking feeling like, what is going on? My life isn't going the way I expected. These problems that I've been bringing to God, I haven't heard an answer. Actually, we've gone in the wrong direction. I've been praying for healing. I've been praying for blessing. And instead, things have been getting worse. God, really? You see, the lie of Satan is to say the situation is that you find yourself in is the God that you should follow. And the truth of God's word says, God is greater than your situation. God is greater than your situation. And so here is Saul, this country boy, well-to-do country boy, from the smallest of the tribes, from the least of the tribes. And he's, what's happening? I mean, what happened in verse 1? What is Samuel doing? He's anointing him with what? Why? To lead what? And then he's giving him all these signs. There's three sets of signs. And this is what's going to happen to you. And then things that are going to happen in the immediate future. And what your response is, as soon as these three things have happened, Saul, there's something you need to do. You need to do whatever you find your hand to do, for God is with you. In other words, you need to turn militarily against and find victory because why? God is with you. Because God is with you is why you will have success against the Philistines here in this battle. And the people will see what's going on. And they will see that I have brought you to this place. It's clear, isn't it? As we get into it, as we understand some of the things of the culture and the things that had been said in the past in other scriptures, Saul has no doubt about what is before him. He has no doubt about what he's supposed to do. And then in verse 8, go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And here's an important thing here, guys. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. After you end the Philistine threat, wait for me, Samuel says. After you've dealt with this and done what God has asked you to do, wait for me. Saul's leadership of Israel was to be under Samuel. Guys, this is different than any other kingship. Do you understand what's being said here? This is shocking to a world that lives with kings. It's saying, you need to wait on God, because as the leader, you're not the leader. You're not the top dog. God is. You see, I'm the people's king. They've rejected me. They've wanted a king like everybody else has. I'll give them a leader, but I'm their king. And so you wait, and you wait to hear from me. In other words, it's saying, Saul, wait upon God, listen to God, follow God. All your leadership will come from him. And this is important, guys. It's so easy to miss it here. But this is a key to what's taking place. Saul would be told later in 1 Samuel 15:1 that his main responsibility as king would be to listen to the words of the Lord. That's his number one responsibility, to hear from God. And here we're getting the first taste of that. Wait for me and wait for what God has for me to say to you, Samuel says. Because God's in charge. Verse 9, as Saul turned to leave Samuel, something incredible happens. God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day when he and his servant arrived at Gibeah. A procession of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came up powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. When all those who were formerly known him saw him prophesying with the prophets, they asked each other, "What is this that has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" So what's happening? What's happening? Saul's coming down and the power of God comes upon him, and he starts prophesying, and all of these things have happened. What's Saul supposed to be doing right now? Waiting, right? Waiting on God, and hear that the prophets come down, and just like it had been prophesied, it's being fulfilled, and the people are wondering, hey, is he a prophet now? Verse 12, a man who lived there answered, "And who is their father?" So it became a saying, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" It became a saying. Think of the saying. What are some sayings we have in our day today? What's that? Google it. That's a good one. Google it. You want to know the answer to anything? Google it. What's that?
Text.
Text me. Text me. So we have the sayings like that. There's also kind of the sayings that we know from certain things in our culture, right? Just do it. You know, it started as a commercial and that became a way of thinking. Just do it. Just do it. Nike. Just do it. That this is being said, and something is happening to where, is Saul also among the prophets? It becomes a saying. And then, unbelievably, in verse 13, after Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Now Saul's uncle asked him and his servant, "Where have you been?" "Looking for donkeys," he said. "But when we saw that they were not to be found, we went to Samuel." Now, this is Samuel's uncle, right? Or Saul's uncle. And Saul's uncle hears the word Samuel. And he's thinking, okay, there's more to the story here. And he's waiting to hear. You went and saw the seer, the prophet? And all you're talking to me about is what?
Donkeys?
And so the uncle is starting to put some things together. You went and you saw the prophet. And And Saul's uncle said, tell me what Samuel said to you in verse 15. Tell me what he said. You can feel the excitement. Man, this is big. He talked with Samuel. And after all this had been prophesied, after he had been anointed with oil, Saul replied, he assured us that the donkeys had been found. But he did not tell his uncle what Samuel had said about the kingship. Well, what's the first reason he didn't mention it? Because he didn't obey God. Guys, see, when we disobey God, what's the natural response to somebody who's just disobeyed God? What's that? Fig leaves to hide under the lie, to hide, to get away from the truth. When you do something wrong, you don't want the truth getting out. And so the fig leaf, God, I love that. The fig leaf comes out. Cover it up. He was supposed to lead in this battle. He was supposed to get there and instantly show that God was leading, show that he was God's man, and be in response to what God had been calling him to do. And instead, he gets known for being a guy who prophesies. Instead, he gets known for being about what his office isn't about. See, he tries to take on a different role than what God had called him to. Have you ever been there? I know I have. Too many times. Where God has called me specifically to something. And I'm... Why do we stand back from what God has called us to do? Fear? What if I'm not able? I promise you, if God has called you to do something, you are not able to do it. If it's a God-sized task, you cannot complete it. I promise you that. But he is through you. And he will provide a way where there is no way. And so the key is, how do we see this lesson that we can learn from Saul? And guys, it's going to build. And I realize as we're telling the story, it kind of feels like we're going back and repeating. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, there's a reason for it. Because God is trying to get through to us. I have something for my people's lives. I have called them. I've given each of you a specific role in my plan. And each one of us come to God and we either say, out of fear or out of pride, I can't or I won't. I've got other things. I got to win this lottery for $1 billion and do my stuff, man. Here we go. We get focused on the things of the world, right?
Then, if you win, really
then they begin. Yeah. Whew. We need to pray that a really strong believer wins that so it doesn't undo them. Oh my God, then they can just give 99% of it away. Oh my goodness. Can you, the things of this world are so tempting, aren't they? So inviting. And when God has called us, either out of fear or out of pride, we can deny him. But I want to say this. When we respond out of pride, we know that's wrong. But do we know that it's wrong to not move forward when we're scared? Be strong and courageous. We're told over and over again through God's word. Guys, we need to be willing to go where God calls us and to do what God calls us to do. And we need to know that there's going to be a cost to that, but God is greater than that cost. And eternity and God's kingdom here now and forever, experienced in part now and in full when we go to be with him. God's kingdom is greater than any other kingdom. any other kingdom. Mark 1:15, it says, the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, Saul is focused on what he's starting to feel the pressure is. I'm not able to do this. I'm just a country boy from a small clan. What did Samuel say? Well, uncle, he said my donkeys were found. Can you just feel Saul doing this? Just stepping back slowly from what God is saying to him. He's just, he doesn't want any part of it. He's trying to just get away from the calling. You know, they say anybody, what's the saying? I forget exactly, but it's basically anybody who runs for president has to really have a lot of, you know, man, just full of themselves and believe in themselves. And because just in the process of running, you're going to get knocked down. Imagine being a king, especially in that culture where kingship is it, where you're the one who's going to be in charge. Everybody's going to be looking to you. And here he's this nobody. He's not prepared. Guys, if God calls you to something, he will equip you for what he's called you to do. Did you hear that? If God has called you to do something, he will equip you to accomplish it. And we don't have to be fearful because you know what? I can't, but God, it's okay to be real with God, but I'm trusting you. Be real with him in your prayer. Express your fear, express your concern, but then rest on the place where God is God. Don't say, oh, God's got this, while you're thinking, oh, no. Be real with God. If it's oh no, say to God, oh no. Because now what are you saying? God, I need you in this. I need your strength. I need your leadership. I need your wisdom. And Saul is slowly becoming and slowly focusing and saying, the saying about him isn't even on what he wasn't called to. Was Saul changed by God? It's clear, isn't it? Saul was prepared by God. Saul was equipped by God, but God doesn't force us to follow. And so Saul has a choice. And we're going to see more about where this leads to. But you guys know about Samuel, as we've gone through the life of Samuel, and we're coming near closer to the end of Samuel's life. We're starting to get to know a little bit about Saul. And then there's another king, which we'll hit after that, which is David. But as it says in Mark 1:15, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then in 4:11, it says the secret of the kingdom of God. Guys, do you want to know what Saul is searching for? What's the secret of the kingdom of God? What? Remember, we know that Saul was told that he would hear from the word of God, right? And from last week, that the word of God, and here he's been given, what is that word? And it specifically involves him. But he's not prepared to be the king. But we know of one who is. We know of the real king. The kingdom of God is at hand. You see, A little while later, there's going to come another man who doesn't look like a king, but who, unlike Saul, is obedient to step forward into the calling that God has given him. That's Jesus Christ, his son. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he comes in a way that we just celebrated at Christmas that doesn't make sense to the way the world works. We think of kings coming in triumphantly, marching in with a troops behind them, ready for battle, showing their strength, puffing up as much as possible so that others will cower and fall before one shot is fired. But this king comes as a babe in the middle of nowhere in the poorest of situations and the most humble of life circumstances. We have a king who leads not by puffing up. We have a king who leads by the truth and love. We have a king who leads by the truth and love, who leads us to him. There's only one person that belongs on the throne, guys, and that's Jesus Christ. And so the key for us is, how do we figure out how we get off the throne? How do we do it? What's the secret of the kingdom of God? That Jesus is king, that he's Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one who belongs right there on the throne. And that means with the calling that he's given us, that means with the struggles that we are facing, we can trust him. And with the situations around us, we can know that he is capable to do through us what he's called us to do. We get to be his ambassadors, guys. We get to be the ones who represent Jesus Christ to our family, to our friends, to our community. Do you feel the weight of that? I hope that doesn't just go by you. I hope you feel the weight of that in a good way, not an overwhelming way. I hope you feel the weight that I am a child of God. And all that is his, this $90 million is nothing in the lottery. Because as children of God, all that belongs to the King and King and the Lord of Lords is ours. You see, the riches that we have aren't the riches that... Do you know, it's like over 50% of people who win the lottery are bankrupt within like 5 years? You see, that's something that's fleeting. It's going to come and go. And even if you handle it well, you can't take it with you. Right? Naked we come in. You can't take anything with you on the way out. The secret of the kingdom of God. Do you know Jesus Christ? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, my prayer is that after the service, you'll talk to the one of the elders, you'll talk to myself, you'll talk to somebody next to you that you know loves Jesus. And you'll seek him out. Even if you've been religious up to this point, but you know there's more. The kingdom of God is at hand, guys. The kingdom of God is at hand. Are you ready for what God is wanting to do through you? It's going to be amazing. It's going to be beyond what you can accomplish, beyond corporately what we can accomplish. And God will do it as we humble ourselves before him. It's another reason, guys, why I'm so excited about the Fireside Chat. It's a chance for us to hear from each other, and especially for the leadership to hear from you. What's going on? What are we missing? What is God saying to you? Where is your piece of God? God's calling to you to bless this community through this church family. I said, my hope and prayer is that we pray hard for that time on January 24th. It'll be a wonderful time, guys. Because I think it's a time for us to listen. Not only to listen from you guys, but for all of us to listen to God together. And to hear in unity, what is God saying? And how do we change a few things? How do we maybe put this and focus here? God, what is God doing? And what's he asking of us? I'm excited. I hope you guys will make that a priority and have the opportunity to hear from the Lord together. Guys, the kingdom of God is at hand. Do you know the king? He's a good king. Guys, he's good. He's good. And because he's good, it changes everything. Because nothing is worse than a bad king. Nothing is worse than a bad king. But he's good. And we have victory in that. Let's close in prayer. God, we are in desperate need of your Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. Lord, not only as we come in justification by faith once and for all, but in sanctification each day, Lord, as we surrender more areas of our life, as we humble ourselves more and more, and as we learn how to depend on your word and bring your word into our lives in everyday life. Father, forgive us for our fear, where we've been like Saul, and we've run back or stepped back and not been honest because with even ourselves, because we're scared of what you're asking us to do. Lord, we desire to move forward in what you've called us to as individuals in our families and in our church family. So, Father, we ask for unbelievable godly wisdom. Lord, we ask for your hand of blessing upon the fireside chat, Lord. We ask for your blessing upon us as we go home and hear from you. Lord, we ask for understanding about where our place is in the tapestry, what threads we're called to be. Father, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for their hearts, for their generosity, for their love. Lord, and we pray that more and more that all of us would be humbling ourselves continually before you so that we can hear your truth and your love, so that our lives can change, not just in outside appearance, Lord, but in the heart, so that the actions that are different come from something that's real. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would transform us as we are walking in step with the truth of the Word of God. We ask to not have a heart like Saul here, who is backing up, Lord. We choose to step forward, to be in step with your Holy Spirit, as the Word of God says. We want to be in step with you, Lord, as we are your army of loved ones, of beloved, marching out in truth and in love with the kingdom of God, rather than to bring arrows and destruction, to bring truth and knock down the gates of hell that cannot stand against you and those you have called. So, Father, all the areas in our lives that we are living in bondage to, all the areas of our lives, Father, that we are living in discouragement and fear, Lord, we ask that you would remove the enemy. Put a covering over us and that we would hear clearly from your Holy Spirit and move in step with you and in victory. Father, for those who are struggling with sickness, Lord, we know that you are a God who heals. We lift up those that we love that are sick. We lift up those who have cancer in our church family here, Lord. We ask for your healing, your miraculous healing. Father, if you choose to work through doctors, we ask for that, but we ask for your blessing to come upon them. And we trust you in the process. We know that all things work for your purposes and for what is good. Father, for those who are struggling because of hidden sin and struggling with, Lord, all of us struggle with that. All of us struggle with our own hypocrisy. Knowing the truth, knowing your truth, and even in ways of small ways and big ways, Lord, we stand away from that truth at times. So, Father, we lay that down. Father, I pray if there are specific areas that are really holding our loved ones back here, Lord, that there would be great surrender today. That there would be not only physical healing for those who are sick, but there would be spiritual, emotional, relational healings. That there would be those things which are in us, Lord, that we would give them over to you and we would see ourselves being healed because of you stepping in and being our God. Lord, it's so easy for us to just get focused on the physical acts of healing, but the rest of us needs it more than ever. Even more than the physical, because one day we'll die physically. But we will live on in our spirit, Lord. We are eternal beings. So, Father, we pray that our hearts, our minds, our souls would be surrendered to you. Lord, forgive us because they're not. They're not. And Lord, if anybody here is thinking of somebody else that this prayer is for, that you would humble them right now and they would realize that this prayer is for me. For me. Lord, humble us so we can hear from you. We love you, Lord. Do a mighty work. Do what you need to do in our lives to bring us to the place of surrender and to following the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Check, check.